As we continue in worship, we hear a scripture from Luke 9, 18 through 27. So over the next 6 weeks, we'll be looking at questions Jesus asks. The first question for today is, who do you say I am? It's from Luke 9. It's actually in all the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus asked this question to his disciples. We'll be looking at the Luke one today. It's from 18 through 27. It says, once when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others that one of the ancient prophets has arisen. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Messiah of God. He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then he said to them all, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word for us today. We thank you for music and song and worship as we stand and sing and hear each other's voice praising you this day as a community of faith. God, I ask that you speak through me and inspire me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Jesus has, throughout the gospel so far, he's been talking to the disciples and telling parables. He's been teaching them about the way and the nature and the kingdom of God. And his disciples have traveled with him through different places. And he's been healing people. Actually, right before this scripture, he fed 5,000 or more than 5,000 folks. And right after this scripture is the transfiguration. Jesus has been healing Gentiles, Jews. They've been coming to him. Jesus was doing it. He was loving all the people. He was showing them love. He was forgiving them. He was healing them. He was breaking the Pharisee law. So here in chapter 9, Jesus is praying, and it's a quiet time, and he turns to his disciples and he asks, who do the crowds say that I am? So after teaching his disciples and showing them the way, he turns to them and sees if they've been on their phones the whole time or sleeping or what it might have been. And so he asks them this question. When he first asks the question, the disciples give him a number of different responses. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah or Jeremiah or maybe one of the arisen prophets. These are all understandable answers. When something new comes along, when something different comes along, when something awe-inspiring comes along for the first time, sometimes we try to squeeze what's new into something that's familiar or old. We tend to take our impressions of it and try to squeeze it in to something familiar. When we experience something new, we use familiar language to get our heads around it, to try to relate it to what we already know. And so maybe that's why they went back to what they have already know and seen and understand. Jesus was like John the Baptist, that he called people to repentance and action and a new way of living. He was like Elijah, that he challenged those in power and was ready to aid the poor and the vulnerable. He was like the ancient prophets in that he preached a message from God. But you see, Jesus was even more than all three of these. And so Jesus asked, well, who do you say that I am? You've told me about these others, and all understandable and familiar, but what do you think? Who do you say that I am, as I've been traveling with you, as I've been healing people, as I've been talking to you about the new way of life? And Jesus was concerned about, what do they think? Do you really believe that Jesus is the Christ for you? Then everything in your life changes. You become one of my followers. You ought to change from who you were to something new. Not just fit me into the old way. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. You see, their beliefs would not change Jesus, but those beliefs could change them. Our beliefs are important to us because they do things and cause us to do things. Most of the time, it's what we believe that directs our choices and controls our actions. It's what we believe about ourselves and what we believe about other people and what we believe that about God that dictates how we live and act towards everyone. The question influences how we live as a follower of Jesus so that Jesus might be glorified and the world might understand who Jesus is for you and for me and for us and for Northwest Hills United Methodists as a community of faith. Throughout the Gospels, we get different pictures and kind of titles of who Jesus is. Can you shout out some of those titles that we read throughout Scripture of who Jesus is? Prince of Peace. Son of God. Shepherd. Comforter.
My life.
Lamb.
My life.
Your life. The door, the light of the world. The Alpha, the Omega.
The
way, the truth, the life. These are all ways that Jesus is described and who Jesus is throughout Scripture. So those are all like what that experience is for, but if I asked you like, who is he for you? Which one of those relates to you and how do you live that out in your life? We have so many answers that we might come up with. Some might say the light, because Jesus showed up when you were in a dark time. Or the bread of life when you were hungry and felt like you were in the desert and the manna from heaven came. Some might say Savior because you were at rock bottom and met Jesus for the first time and he turned your life around. There's so many different images and ways in which we experience Christ, and it's not like once we come up with that answer, that's forever, but it changes over time as we go throughout different experiences. You see, the grace of God not only meets us where we are, but it guides us to be who we're intended to be, what we're intended to be. Experience Jesus as a patient God. One who, even when I was not being who I was supposed to be, he was patiently waiting and patiently guiding me to come and to be who he desired for me to be throughout my life. And so I try to be patient with others who come to me and experience that, show that same patience to them, with people, as I live my life, as we are all trying to make it. Whether it's checking out in the, well, sometimes I get kind of antsy, but whether it's checking out in the grocery store, sometimes I'll just go to a line and wait, but sometimes I also walk back and forth. Being a Christian is not only to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, but it's also to follow the ways of Jesus and bind our hearts to his. To believe in Jesus not only means to, it means to believe, right? And believing does something. And truly it is a fantastic thing which happens when our believing takes us into the Lord and puts us in relationship with Him. And so this passage calls us today to figure out who Jesus is for us, for you, for me. It calls us to move beyond our particular political or denominational factions, beyond our loyalties, and to listen to one another and to speak to one another. And even as we have come from different places and different backgrounds, our experience of who Jesus is real to us. And I can't deny that realness for you, and you can't deny that realness in me. It's who Jesus is based on our experience of how we've encountered Christ in our life. And so, might we put our values on things from above, trusting in God's promise of eternity? May we choose to join with Christ and bearing the cross and lose ourselves as we gain Christ. There may be some day as you are living your life and just out and about that someone will say, maybe, are you a Christian, and who is Jesus to you? And what difference does it make in your life? And may we have the confidence to be willing to share the ways that Jesus changed our life and how we live that out through word and action. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for your love for us this day. The ways in which you're at work in our life and the ways we experience you in so many different ways, through people who show up at funerals and people who show up on the street corner as we're passing out popsicles, as we show up, as we drop off snacks, as we show up at the clothing closet, as we show up at so many different ways at the schools, that we might be present and that the children might know that people care, people love them. God, may we be people who live out your calling each and every day as you show us grace and as we try to show that grace to others. Be with us, guide us, and direct us. Show us what you desire for our lives. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.